Episode 31 of The Exit Strategy. TikTok testifies before Congress. ChatGPT, everything you need to know about the AI-powered chatbot. Discussions about India. How are investors seeing the region? Coming up next in this episode of The Exit Strategy. Now let's hear that count.
1, 2, 3, 4.
You're listening to The Exit Strategy, a podcast that inspires open discussions about financial news and technology today. My name, Marcus Megarian, a recovering SaaS vendor, joined by my co-hosts, Ralph DeFiore and Swadek Mazumdar. And we're sitting down with startup founders, technology experts. Now let's begin.
It's always interesting when social media, which really wasn't a thing maybe 10 years ago or 15 years ago, now it's all over the place when it comes to like Congress and the House representatives and the committees. Like the Energy Committee that somehow or is dealing with this TikTok situation? Because TikTok is hot. Half of Americans are on TikTok. Swadek, I know you're not dancing on a TikTok video. Ralph, you're far from a TikTok dance video. You know, what? Why should we care? I mean, like this whole thing. I mean, like I used to work at a data company. And the interesting fact is that you captured the data, but there's only so much information you can actually get out of the data unless it's very specific things that you're trying to do. So when Congress is discussing these topics with TikTok, it's always interesting to see like the feedback, because a lot of the times, historically, when they speak with Facebook and all these other social media groups, they usually have the weaker hand because most people in Congress today don't know anything about social media. And it drives me crazy, you know. So the hearing is being hosted by Republican-led House and Energy Committee. It began at 10 a.m. Eastern time Thursday morning, and they might kill TikTok. So, Ralph, I'm sorry for your aspirations in being a TikTok star, but it might not happen.
Well, from what I've read, and I would recommend anybody that wants to learn more to go to YouTube and put in TikTok danger and look at a couple of those videos, and you will see. I watched one where this person was creating videos, and he did an experiment. He said something bad about China, and in the next month or so, his viewership dropped like a rock. And that's one.
Oh, they killed his SEO score or something?
Because he said something bad about China. Then I watched another one where the Wall Street Journal set up a lot of bots as if they were people. And each bot had an interest. One was interested in animals, another depression. And of course, the one interested in depression got fed a lot of content on depression. In fact, in today's hearing, I think there was a couple who lost their son because he was watching TikTok and they were feeding him depressive content. So TikTok is a drug, and it's a drug being controlled by the Chinese. I don't know if it's China. I don't know if the government's involved, but it's not being controlled in a way that's positive. And I can understand why a lot of parents and legislators are concerned about where this is going. I mean, it could be used in very nefarious ways. Suppose, for instance, we're at war, and they're feeding people information, not necessarily saying that that particular war is bad, but that all war is bad. And then nobody wants to fight, and we lose the war. I mean, that's an extreme example.
Didn't that happen in the 60s of Vietnam with all that flower power?
It's
Ralph, you had flower power.
Yes, I do. It's controlling the brain, basically what it is. They have found, and this is the danger of these algorithms and AI, is that they have found a way to control the brain, just like a drug. When you take
Yeah.
a drug and you need more.
A lot of these data companies, I mean, as you know, I worked for that data company, and it was all about how do you manipulate people to perform an action that you want to get the desired result. So the desired result for a lot of cases in our company was for people to add to cart and to pay for the product and have it delivered to their house. So there's that. That's the whole thing. Look, I'll be honest with you. I never heard of a Su Chu until today. And he's the CEO of TikTok. I mean, we knew about Mark Zuckerberg before, Facebook was a thing. We knew about Facebook before it was a thing.
But we don't know about a lot of Chinese CEOs here anyway. So it's not, it's just
Not
TikTok.
unusual.
Yeah, it's not unusual. TikTok, has 1.5 billion subscribers worldwide. 10% of that reside in the US. And
Yeah.
Ralph is right. I think it is what I think the government is going after is, the harmful AI that brings, dangerous content to young adults. Not that other social medias don't do that. This is a company that resides overseas, obviously owned by ByteDance. And knowing how that jurisdiction works, the US government is very careful. Other than just on the content, I mean, I have looked at this quite deeply, because it does there are a lot of mental issues for young adults because of some social media platforms such as TikTok, by the way. Those things have to be addressed, and I think the solution really is some kind of a data verification, data audit
Yeah.
is required.
Look, I've been reading this book called Of the American Mind, and it's quite crazy. So it makes some very poignant points that I never considered. It's kind of like, how kids have peanut allergies, and Ralph and Swadek, when you guys were kids, they never heard of peanut allergies, right? Like
No, heard
the
about it all
fact
the time. Yeah,
all the time, but okay, what happened is in the book, when you read it says like, if you consider a peanut allergy, if you feed peanuts to a child, it increases the chance that they develop a resilience to getting peanut allergy. So when the test said they did a sample group where they fed children peanuts, 3% became susceptible to being allergic to peanuts, and then 17% who were not fed any peanuts were susceptible to becoming allergic to peanuts. Now, the same thing happens with emotions, like the woke movement and all that stuff. So a lot of times when you create safe spaces and all these things for children, it actually, like the peanuts, it increases the chances of them being incapable to manage things later in life. And so it comes to everything. So like, social media is something that's going to be extremely important, because if you have something like the fact that if you neglect a child, it actually increases the chance of having an infant mortality. It's the same thing, like everything is social. So social media, of course, is going to be the most popular app on your iPhone or on your Android. But how do you control people from being and how do you control people from not using this type of service when
Marcus, how is this social? Isn't it just media?
it's
There's no
social?
social.
Because
You
you're
can't
allowed.
contact you
You
can't
could,
contact other people.
but you, yeah, you could message them and you could contribute videos. You
Oh, I
could do
see.
like
Right, that's
match.
social. There's definitely social interaction.
It's a,
Platform does
it's
have social interaction.
like the amount of, I mean, imagine half Americans are the damn thing, like posting videos. Like it's crazy. I mean, right now, I think that they're in,
150 million, yeah, over half,
Well,
actually.
th
The
and the
engagement.
other thing is, think about that old saying, a picture is worth a thousand words. Just think of the impact that these images have on the brain.
These are not pictures, these are videos. That's 10 times.
Yeah,
10
yeah.
Times
well, more. Same thing. Yeah. You got me on a technicality there.
No, but what I'm saying is, no, I'm just trying to amplify what you're saying. If pictures, has a certain effect on you, videos, it's 10x of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree. And video content, besides being a monumental waste of time, think about it. If everybody's on TikTok.
I agree with that.
Most of my TikTok is following things on history and science. I randomly get guys that do conspiracies on like construction of like old monuments. And I always find it interesting and I block them because like it's like completely ridiculous. There was one guy the other day who posted something about how can in Brazil they can construct these great things. And I go to the guy, I literally started chatting with the guy and I told him, you know, if you go to Portugal today, it's the same buildings that exist there as they do in Brazil. It's not a conspiracy. But what they do on social media is that they'll take something that's complete fact and turn it into a conspiracy just to get the clicks. And it's the most interesting phenomenon in the world. And what's the truth? Most people will not go to Brazil to check on those buildings.
Right. So there's no way of verifying who's
but
right.
Imagine in our case, financial news. How much fraud can you get from creating this kind of stuff? And then like, is it fraud? Is it insider? Is it this or that? I think it's a very crazy thing that you go down. Like I love during the pandemic how you had all these random ninjas that would show up and they're like expert traders. And then they would do all these things about trading and have these constant videos and they get targeted by these people. And it's just like it's the problem is that before all the social media, you actually had to be a renowned, you had to study, get a PhD, then you become a professor. Today, anyone could do it. Like here in France, the number one business school, everyone seems to have gone to it because you take like a $500 course and you post on your LinkedIn, I went to the number one school in Europe for business. And it's that easy these days. You go and post something on TikTok, it's that easy these days. Everyone's
so
got their own.
So did the pizza delivery guy.
Yeah.
No, but right. what the government is trying now is either to ban it. India banned TikTok in 2020. The U.S. Government banned TikTok from all federal devices, so it's already happened. But I don't know if banning is the solution, or is there a bigger picture that we need to kind of attack? You know, gather plus control of information. You know, the data on demographic interest, you know, location, you know, contacts, all these things are being done by these devices. So I think the onus also falls on the federal government to either, you know, you can't just ban and, you know, ask them to sell it to a U.S. entity. I don't think that really solves the problem. I think there should be some regulations with the federal law to kind of discourage phone companies. Data brokers, ad tech companies to manage these things better, and not specifically target certain data sets.
Yeah,
that's where I think the issues are coming down to. So it's just not what content is being consumed by young adults. It's also, as we said, there's a lot of national security issues, which is basically what the government is going after, saying, you know, we don't know what kind of data you're sharing. Even though today they said, they don't share any data. It's got nothing to do with the Chinese government. But, you know, there is always a suspicion whether if that statement is true or not. And knowing how the Chinese governments work, whether they'll come down, if they ask them to share the data, will they comply or not comply? So we don't know the answer to that.
Honestly, I'm not educated enough to understand what data they're actually getting from us. I'll tell you that, though, reading that book of the American mind and how you have all this trigger nonsense, how like people are very easily influenced. And In the book, they basically describe how when you have these segregated groups where, like, you have the Fox News watcher versus the CNBC or the MSNBC watcher, it's easier to control the environment when you actually have these kind of groups that are segregated and they don't hear the information from the other side. You know, so it's a very useful tool. I don't think it's because of them capturing our data. I think it has more to do with segregating people and then providing them or feeding them information and then manipulating their
mindset. That propaganda, the false propaganda definitely is, is an issue. But more than that, if you're talking about targeting, if you remember, there was an allegation that TikTok or the Chinese government was using TikTok to target journalists, U.S. journalists who are writing stuff against them and how to manipulate that. So, again, that's an allegation. I don't know if it's ever been proven right or wrong. You know, these are things that they share, you know, interest, location, names, what they do, what kind of consumption of other data do they look at. You know, all, you know, these things have a digital footprint.
I have some...
And the other thing is that, you know, it's iterative. It's looking at what you're looking at, and it's going to feed you more of that. But what if it want to be used in some nefarious way, such that they show you 20 videos of what you're interested in, but then they pop one in there on capitalism, how bad capitalism is.
Right, or, but Ralph, that happens with every social media. You know, you go to YouTube, and you're looking, it's a discovery algorithm that they have, right? You go to YouTube, you start looking at, say, soccer, French soccer. You'll be fed with all French soccer-related stuff. You know, that whole, you know,
search index. Right, but I'm saying this is controlled by or influenced by someone or a country that's an avowed enemy of the United States.
It could be. That's the allegation. Yeah. It could be. Yeah. And it definitely could be manipulated. There's no way if somebody says, no, it's never going to happen. You know, if you can, they're saying, well, the servers reside in the U.S., so the chances are it's not susceptible to those kind of attacks. That's not true. I mean, look at all the big attacks we've had. We've had on TransUnion. We've had on, cyber attacks and even the Pentagon.
I just think it's easier to call it an act of aggression versus like a passive thing where you're being fed into segregated groups. It's harder to explain. It's like when you have like a TV show or something and they have focus groups, and then to try to understand how people interpret things. And then obviously they had a focus group with like 1,000 random Americans and stated like, well, what sounds better? Is it if we had an attack because of TikTok, is it, how would you feel about that because of the Chinese, et cetera? It's just easier. I think it's just what samples better and what gets more clicks, even from the government perspective. But I don't think that it's about the data collection. I think it's more about the manipulation. And I say that only because of this book that I've been reading here. And like, you know, a lot of times when you're looking things up, like before, back in the day, right, you used to go to the library, you had to know the Dewey Decimal System. You know, you had to, if you wanted to get some stuff from old newspapers, you have to go to the microfiche. Sounds like a Russian spy film when you do that. And it's completely different today, right? You had the thing with Trump where he supposedly was supposed to get put under arrest on Tuesday. And then you have things like ChatGTP creating fake photos of Trump getting arrested.
Chased by police
and all that crap. I mean, yes, amazing.
Those are dangerous.
In an orange prison suit.
Yeah, those are very dangerous. So people will have to, there has to be some kind of a watermarking in that, on those, saying these are deep fakes. They can't be, you know, because there are a lot of people who are not educated in this space.
Yeah.
They can take this for real. And it could, you can have a riot in your hands.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, is that's why I'm telling you that the TikTok thing, I don't think it's about the data collection. I think it's more about the manipulation aspect.
Well, because that's the second part, right? First is data collection. You cannot manipulate something you don't have data on, right? So once you have the data, you can manipulate on that data based on your agenda.
So, I mean, ChatGTP, right? It was released November 30th of 2022. to the public. ChatGPT version 3.5. That's the one we can still use for free, unless you pay the maximum fee of $20 a month. I still haven't paid my $20 a month, so I don't know what I'm missing. Maybe it's something.
Plus,
Maybe it's everything. Maybe it's nothing. Who knows? But it's, you know, over the timeline, it's like, let me see here. So ChatGTP launched November 30th. December 8th, you have ShareGTP, where you could share, you know, your results or conversations with people. Then February 1st, 2023, OpenAI opens ChatGTP Plus, and you could start. You pay $20 a month. You get privileges and benefits. Then let's see here. Hold on one second. We're going to have,
so November, Marcus, from November to now, how many months is that? 5 months?
Yeah.
In
but everyone's
5 months, we have 100 million active users. 100 million. That's exponential growth.
Yeah. It's still not as high as TikTok though, right?
No, I don't think TikTok went that fast.
It didn't go that fast. But,
yeah, but you know, TikTok again has 1.5 billion today. But how soon would ChatGPT reach a billion plus? If going on the same trajectory very, very quickly, by the end of the summer, you'll probably have it.
I'm waiting for the ChatGPT TikTok videos, you know, where like you have like the AI doing some kind of dance.
You love dancing videos, I reckon here.
I'm pretty good at those. I'm pretty good at those. Choreography is terrible, but we get it done. Now, so, and then you have March 1st, 2023, OpenAI launches the API, which is nothing we'll use because we're not the guys to use the API. ChatGTP on March 9th is available on Azure. You know, so I guess that means that the servers have the thing. I mean, March 14th, OpenAI launches ChatGTP 4 through the ChatGTP Plus. March 23rd, which is today, OpenAI launches ChatGTP to the internet. So I guess that means that if you use Bing, you get to get results based on ChatGTP things. Now, what I don't understand is that, like, when I ask for something about today's news, it always states ChatGTP doesn't go further back than 2021. Some month in 2021, September or something. So have you guys been trying this new one, or have you tried ChatGPT before?
I have.
I tried ChatGPT, yeah.
And what happened?
Well, I asked it, who's smarter, Ralph or Swatek?
Oh, and thank you, Ralph.
So the response was Marcus or...
No, I tried it, and it's very, very interesting. And I think Bill Gates is right. It's going to change the world.
Right.
It's probably one of the next hottest things, although there's so many of them today, right?
Everything's hot right now.
Yeah, but what they're saying, it's extremely disruptive, and it's going to change. We haven't seen this kind of change in about 100 years. That's how disruptive it is.
Well, I'm not gonna be able to stop progress. I definitely like this thing because it basically facilitates a lot of stuff. But like, there's a lot of bugs in the thing. I mean, I catch mistakes that it makes. I catch false information that it states.
Yeah, it's new. It's new. Don't forget. You know, even though you can subscribe, it's still on a beta, level right now.
Yeah.
The full version is not there. They're still working. They're still generating content. But obviously, there's a lot of opposition to the release of ChatGPT. You know, they feel
in the 80s and 90s, they were like all against Congress is all against like rock and roll.
Very different in terms of levels of, I guess, worry, because, you know, rock and roll was music and, you know, lyrics, you know, obviously it influence a certain mindset, but
it wasn't controlled by anybody.
It wasn't, to a certain extent. But this is machine, you know, driven content algorithms, and is generating these content, you know, where you don't know whether it's real or it's not, or unreal, or it's fake.
Swatek.
It's very difficult. Yeah,
Swatek. There must be some Hindu thinking about when you're given everything you want, it can't be good. And that's what TikTok does. It gives you what you want.
You mean AI, ChatGPT?
Or AI, yeah, or TikTok, yes.
Yeah.
Is there, do you know of any?
Where did you hear this wonderful?
No, I just thought it up myself, being a big thinker.
A big thinker, okay.
Other thing about TikTok, let me just go back to TikTok. Alan Turing, you know who he is, right? He invented the a computer in 1945 to interpret German Nazi messages for the British. And he was a mathematician. Now, he was gay. So, I mean, what if TikTok knows that somebody in, say, the Defense Department or somebody in charge of missiles has a secret that he wants to hide? Not necessarily that he's gay, but let's say, I don't know, he's interested in some crazy thing. I can't imagine what it could be. But could they threaten him with blackmail by knowing what this person likes to see on TikTok, right? By the way, they mistreated Alan Turing so terribly. I mean, the guy was a hero to humanity, and he was mistreated after the war. But Think of it. There's so many ways this could get out of hand.
Who's Alex Turing?
He invented the computer to interpret Nazi messages.
Right.
What did they call that machine? The
Morse code.
No.
The Turing. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
It starts with an E.
Enigma.
Enigma. That's it. Enigma.
Yeah, you know, I saw the movie. It's got these weird speedy things.
Yeah, I saw that as well.
I think it's like Alan Cummings. I forget the guy's name, but he was like in one of those Avenger movies.
Yeah. You're right.
It's a lot of stuff. I mean, like it's one of those things like you wish you were young at this age, when all these things are coming out, because it's like, oh, you know, what's the future to bring? But I think it's just. I think what happens is that, like, you have to change education, like the way, you know, when I went to school, you had to memorize stuff. And nowadays, technically, you don't have to memorize anything because the information is just available all the time.
That is also, you know, the way things are working now, not just information, you know, you're right. I mean, I went to school as well, where you had to memorize these things, but because the information is available at an instant, right? You don't have to go necessarily to the library and start pulling up stuff or microfiches. You know, you can go online and get everything. So,
you know, I'm on the fence about how bad ChatGPT is and there are the other systems in helping students. Now, if a teacher told you, go ahead and use ChatGPT to tell us about Lewis and Clark, but then I want you to write what you learn in your own words, right? Now, that might be a good learning experience, right? So you're not reading a book necessarily. You're reading about Lewis and Clark based on your question about Lewis and Clark. For instance, what did Lewis and Clark eat on their journey out west, something like that.
Ralph, I really think, you know, this is evolving very quickly. We still have, you know, we still want to know what's under the hood. We cannot ignore it. You know, Marcus was talking about a bug. You know, there was bugs where there were conversations that you could see, other people's conversation and history of conversations you could see. So that bug, I guess, has been corrected, has been you know, patched up, but they also say they can delete specific prompts from the user's history. That's worrisome. So I think we still really need to look under the hood as this evolves. But I personally feel Chat GPT is going to be very dangerous once today it doesn't have that, but once it starts getting itself on human levels from an emotion, from a feeling and experience point of view, they can't do that right now because there's not enough data there. But sooner or later, all this data that gets populated, they would probably start doing that. That then it starts getting really dangerous. So we
The
have to be,
prompts
there
that
has
I
to be
put
some
in get
regulations on
are
it.
undeletable.
Your conversations are not, they are undeletable, yes.
So that question I asked about how to make a quiche is going to be there forever?
It's going to be there forever if you have interacted with somebody, and there are conversations around it.
So
And you
who
didn't ask
cares?
something bad. Did you ask something really bad?
No, it's all about it was about a quiche, you know,
About a
like
quiche.
I made a quiche yesterday. What am I gonna do? Like,
By the way, happy birthday.
no, thank you.
Belated happy birthday.
Belated happy birthday kind of thing. It never ends. That's the thing about my family. Everyone's birthday is like in March.
Wow.
It's like every week you get a goddamn cake. It's kind of like when I used to work at like Merrill Lynch or Morgan Stanley, like every day there was someone's birthday. Because on the trading floor you had like 300 people. So like you're always going to get someone's birthday. And if your birthday fell like on a Saturday or Sunday, you know, they just give you a cake on Monday. You know,
Wow,
and
okay.
if you had two or three people on the trading floor with a birthday, you get like two, three cakes. It's crazy. We don't have that problem anymore these
I have a
days.
friend from my soccer team that there's 14 people. So he had three kids. Every one of them has two children apiece. I don't know if that adds up to 14, but they have 14 people. And he says there's at least one birthday party every month. So throughout the year, every single month, there's a birthday party.
Well, I mean, if you had a birthday every month, I mean, this is the thing. It's like if you were born on a leap year on the 29th of February, how old are you? And like after 16 years, are you four or are you
No, I would say you're 16. The fact that you
you're
don't celebrate
16?
your birthday
You're
doesn't make you younger.
like every 4 years in that leap year. Sorry, son, we can't buy you that gift this year. We're gonna have to buy you the
How
thing.
about if a dog is born on the leap year?
Oh
What does he
man.
figure that out?
Forget about it. I mean, what do they like? Most dogs live 10 to 20 years, depending on
Well,
the
no,
breed.
it's each human dog year is 7 human years or something like that,
Yeah.
I think, or four. I can't remember. I think it's four.
So every leap year they'll turn seven.
No, if they miss the leap, if they're born on the 28th of February, right? So they're only having a birthday every 4 years. And if that's 4 human years, then after wow, I mean, it boggles the mind. That's a good math question.
Well, I don't have any Excel. I could
But
ask
we digress.
ChatGPT. I could ask ChatGPT since we're on the topic, you know. So, SWAT.
Swatik, this is all you.
This is man, like
Which
you
is
know
what?
what
Oh, okay.
we've been talking about India all the time, right?
Yeah.
Because you know you're the leader of the country, basically. And the thing is that like TechCrunch today came out with an article here. About four Indian investors explaining how their investment strategy has changed since 2021. And everyone's all hype, but no hype. I mean, did you go through the article or
No, I have not,
you
unfortunately.
haven't? So
I'll look it up, yeah.
we got guys from Sequoia, Prosus Ventures, Better Capital, PI Ventures, et cetera. And, you know, I think that a lot of these emerging markets have a lot of potential because the fact that, like, you have very strong population growth in a lot of them. I mean, China, I would say their long-term population expectations that we discussed in the previous podcast is not very hype, but India is the best for D2C. It's the biggest population over the next 100 years. You know, so yeah. I don't think that, you know, I mean, it says here, I mean, after more than 12 years of bull run for the tech sector, with the gold market supported, low interest rates, etc., the view is still quite positive in India.
Yeah, you can't ignore it. You know, Ernst & Young came out recently with a wonderful report. I think I'm going to send that to you. And it talks about how India is going to be a $26 trillion economy by another 25 years, actually. So that's a huge, you know, huge run for growth run for India. They're talking about how India by 2030 would be the third largest economy, beating Japan and Germany. So it'll be U.S., China, and India. And so,
I mean, India is seeing massive growth in e-commerce, ed tech, you know, tech-enabled products and services. So, especially like if you have a population that, like, you know, everyone can't be in Mumbai, right? So you have people in Chennai, you have people in Calcutta, you have people in Agra. You have, you know, it's a very big country with many people. So the fact that these areas, especially ed tech or e-commerce, it's growing like crazy. I don't think it's going to stop, even if you have rising interest rates and all those things, because of the fact that you still have a massive young population in the area.
Yeah, there is a major growth opportunity here. You know, not just from demographic. Point of view that you were mentioning, domestic consumption, certain reforms that's coming in by the government. But I think more important than that is how the government is now trying to build manufacturing. We spoke about that a few podcasts ago. They're also focusing on how to build the export market. They are looking at a lot of different jurisdictions and because of the demographic advantages and because of the talent advantages, they want to build the manufacturing base and make it, you know, like a Chinese economy grew because of exports. India wants to do exactly the same thing. So there's a huge growth curve ahead of us.
It seems that the feedback from a lot of these founders or through these VCs, the leaders in these four VCs, is that it's really a D2C focused market, but you're starting to see more and more change and more investments going to B2B space. And
it's both.
Yeah. I mean,
it's both. Yeah.
Once you get the consumer, then you actually have to understand what they're doing, right? So like the business buying these B2B products is because they want to see how the consumer is behaving in the back end with their stuff. Like my experience in the B2B space was, you know, selling products to consumer generated groups like, you know, cosmetic companies or electronics companies or, you know, household stuff like Electrolux, etc. And it's quite important to know what your customer is doing, because like take for example, my first time really understanding the tech space was we were doing a demo with Electrolux, and what we focused on was the air conditioning system, for no reason at all. And what we got out of it is that we basically told Electrolux, hey, your consumers don't know how to buy an air conditioning system. And the e-commerce person was like, well, no, what are you talking about? And I was like, look, no one's clicking on the BTU calculator, nor do you know that you should be clicking on that BTU calculator. You know, because like, it's
what is it, Marcus? A DQ?
The BTU. Like the, you know, like when you.
BTU is the energy.
The energy. So how much, you know, how much energy do you need to pump into the room in order to cool off the room, right?
Like, oh, I see. Oh, the BTU.
The BTU,
I thought you were saying Q. Q.
So 99.9% of the 400,000 or 500,000 people that were going to this site in the month of August in Brazil, which is winter anyway, so no one's really buying it, looking, think of an air conditioning system, but there was still 400,000 or 500,000 going onto the site. And 99.8% of people didn't click on the BTU calculator. But once we looked at the people from the point of view that they added the product to cart and purchased the air conditioning system, we knew that the BTU calculator was something that we needed to emphasize and have people and push people to click on. Because the problem is that people didn't know how to do it. So with India here, you're seeing people, the focus was first direct to consumer. And then some of these VCs are basically stating very clearly that, you know, we have to have a better B2B angle here. But what's interesting is that, like, they still haven't slowed down. And it's actually, it seems like there is more caution from this article, but it doesn't seem like it's really something that's slowing down in areas like in Europe, for example.
Yeah, so in India, you know, the entrepreneurship obviously is flourishing. The startup ecosystem is flourishing. The government, with its program of Startup India, is putting a lot of emphasis on startups. You know, just on a scale, they had, if I remember the numbers correctly, they had about 9,000 startups about 15 years ago. Right now, they have about close to 70 to 90,000 startups. So that's a huge jump in that ecosystem. And that's only possible when you have clear policies, you have good government policies, but good corporate governance as well. And the Indian startup, if you look at them today, they're very, very professionally run. We couldn't say that maybe 10 or 15 years ago, but they've come a long way. So, you know, with the flourishing startup ecosystem, the government giving certain incentive to the whole startup ecosystem, you know, the entrepreneurship really is flourishing there. And it'll continue Swantik, to do
I
that.
I wonder what the growth trajectory and achievements and challenges are going to be in India versus China. You know, in China, from Mao until about the late 80s, you really didn't have a lot of development. I remember going there in early 90s, all you could see was cranes everywhere, you know, and they were playing catch up, but India didn't have that. Is that correct? You didn't have Mao, but I'm saying, did you have anything that held you back from slowly developing an economy?
So I don't call them sins, but there are challenges of a democracy. And China didn't have that. It's an autocratic country, so they can do what they have to do. India, obviously, because of being a democratic country, had to work around that and work with that, which kind of slows everything down. You know, you have a certain government in place that may like certain growths, may like a certain area of growth, some industries. And so reforms and policies were set based on that. And India also has a huge bureaucratic system in place, which also is very challenging at times. But those, I think, are coming, are getting more efficient than what it was a few years ago.
Right. Okay. And one example I think because of this Mao effect, and really not a lot of economic activity growth until the late 80s. They had a surge of economic activity and growth, which led to excesses, like excessive building of apartments. And probably there are many examples in other areas. And India doesn't have that, right? It's not
yet. I think India is being a little more cautious. It's like how the East and the West was built in the US, right? The East Coast was just built, and then the West Coast kind of looked at that foot design and built it better, right? So India is
Right.
looking at all the challenges that China maybe have is going through, has gone through, and is trying to create the framework, which is going to be much bigger. It's more phased out. And again, it's a democratic country, so it has to be done in a certain way that does not infringe upon certain rights of people and certain ways of working. So India is, India is doing it that way. But what really challenged India, Ralph, to answer that question in the past is India didn't have, it had manufacturing to a certain extent, did not have high-tech manufacturing, did not have the efficient manufacturing, did not have those designs and, the cats in place. They are doing that now. So they are, obviously, technology has changed things. There's been much more advances that has happened. And so India is, lucky to have that. And it's at the right spot, the right crossroads now to take advantage of all the development that has happened from a technology advancement point of view.
I mean, you could definitely see that it literally states here that investors are optimistic about the prospect of the country,
They have to be,
and it's
really
stating
though.
that the global slowdown is helping their founders focus more and create.
So yeah, so what has happened with that is, once COVID happened, we had a lot of supply chain disruptions all over the world, and we've seen how bad that could be for business globally, not just US, everywhere in the world. So everybody started looking at alternatives, and India just happens to be the best alternative because it has an English-speaking, audience, population. It has tons of talent, a lot of engineers. You need a lot of engineering power. It has tons of engineers. It has obviously the land mass. Logistically, is placed very well in the world. It serves about 70%, or yeah, more than 70% of the world's population from where it is today. It was difficult earlier on, but I think the whole infrastructure build out, we spoke about this in the last podcast as well, the railroads, the airports, just creating mobility to facilitate business faster and quicker and more efficient is being undertaken right now, and at a very quick clip, by the way. We are not waiting for the next 50 years, or Indians are not waiting for the next 50 years for this change to happen. They know it has to be now or never.
And ChatGTP isn't the one that's going to give the answers. It's going to be the Indian people themselves. So, guys, it's the end of the podcast. It's one of those things that we always have to come through. We can't wait for the next episode we're going to have. Somebody's going to talk to us about investments and tax efficient structures. It's the most important thing, especially if you want to go to places like India or France. It's
Absolutely.
Like, why go there if I can't get a benefit from it?
Yeah, we are talking to some folks. That'll be one. That'll be an interesting conversation to have, because we are trying to work, get an engagement with a firm that is based in India. We're trying to make it more tax efficient by taking it to a different jurisdiction to see how well that works out. So yeah, that'll be a great conversation to have. Look forward to that.
So let's talk on Monday about it, guys. It's
You
been
got
good
it.
to see you guys. We'll speak soon. Episode
Happy birthday again,
31.
belated
Thank
happy
you.
birthday.
Thank you
Your
again.
bottle of wine is on its way.
I can't wait. It better be a premier cru, like the highest.
You got
All
it.
right.
You got
Cheers.
it. Look up.